This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and we're joined by the great Denny McClain, 31-game winner, 1968 Cy Young Award winner, and Most Valuable Player that year, and World Series champion. And a year later, he repeated his Cy Young heroics, 24 wins. No one in modern time has ever won 55 games in 2 years, and no one has won 30 games in a season other than Denny McClain since 1934. He's joining us from Detroit, where he was king of the hill and still pontificates like few others. And since we last talked with Denny, he lost his partner, his wife of 56 years, Sharon Boudreau McClain. And Denny, we send you our great sympathy. She was a gallant woman, and I know you have mentioned her several times, and probably speak with great grief as we speak today.
She, Jim, it's good to talk to you, and just tell you, 56 years, she was a special lady, and I still don't believe it. I still think she's going to walk in the door, so, at least I pray every day, but probably not going to happen. But, I'll tell you one unbelievable thing. I was down in Louisiana for 5 or 6 years in the steel business, and until it went south, and I'd heard from so many people in Louisiana with condolences. I mean, I live in Michigan. I haven't been to Louisiana in a number of years. And the people that called me are people that some of them we didn't even do business with, just people we met, here, there, and everywhere. And it's been a long time since I've been touched that dramatically. It was unbelievable. There was just a string of people there for about 2 weeks that everybody, either Morgan City or New Orleans, of course, and some of Belle Chasse and some of the other places. And I'm very fond of Louisiana. I always had a good time there.
Well, your wife was the daughter of a Hall of Famer, Lou Boudreau.
Yes, right.
A great player, manager. And yesterday we had a vote for the Hall of Fame. No surprise that Derek Jeter was almost a unanimous selection. Larry Walker also in. And I think the most notable votes are those that did not get in. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds both got 61%. You need 75. And Curt Schilling got 70%. He's not tied to steroids, but he was a controversial fellow. And the Hall doesn't like controversy, does it?
No, they don't like controversy. And as far as Curt goes, he wasn't very kind with the media. He was not one of those guys that was outgoing. I mean, whenever he was... And he's kind of I don't like to use this word, but radical, very much so. That's something else that won't get you in the Hall of Fame. They want people, mainliners, they want people right in the middle. They don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, but you can't go out on the stump and start campaigning for people if you want to get in the Hall of Fame. And I suppose he'll realize that one day and possibly get in. But I think he probably falls a little short of the Hall of Fame. But with the way the Hall of Fame has been bouncing around the last couple of years, you never know. And when what's his name from the White Sox got
in? Harold Baines.
Harold Baines. I think that kind of surprised a whole lot of people. And what I told everybody at the time after he was elected in, I said, listen, what Harold Baines did, everybody who wants to be in the Hall of Fame should do. He put a crew together. Crew from all over everywhere, and he pounded the voters, mm-hmm. just pounded them and pounded them and pounded them until he got enough votes, not realizing that he was going to be in. But, when you look at his numbers, he had pretty good numbers. So, and there's a lot of guys that are borderline. But the ones that, like you said earlier, you referred to the guys that aren't in. Tony Oliva hit over 300 every year he played. He was the best hitter I ever saw. And I think most pitchers would probably say that. He was a better than average outfielder. He was a great hitter, as I said, and he knew how to play the game. And I could name probably 10 or 12 other guys that I thought should be in the Hall of Fame. But the two guys you just mentioned a few minutes ago, Clemens and Bonds, they were steroid freaks. And that's all I can say about them. And if they deserve to get in there, then we got to look back on and include Shoeless Joe Jackson and all those guys in 1919. So if that's the case, if that's what we're going to use to be the judge rule now, then, in fact, they're going to have to give that consideration. One of the other things, too, by the way, which I did not realize until the other day, If you are on the banned list as a player and you die, you can never come in for a vote. In other words, the commissioner just can't say, all right, take all those guys who are now passed away and let's vote on those guys getting into the Hall of Fame. They've got a rule, which I think surprised everybody, that if you die while on the banned list at that point in time or suspended list, you cannot get in the Hall of Fame. Mm. So that was kind of strange and startling to me. But, you know, nonetheless, they got their own rules, and so far it's worked pretty well with few exceptions.
It helps to be a Yankee.
Oh, man, does it ever. I'm going out to buy a uniform full of pinstripes today.
Well, you mentioned Bonds and Clemens. Now, this is where you and I disagree. I think they should be Hall of Famers because I think the evidence is such that they would have been Hall of Famers before they started juicing up. But what about A-Rod? He's become a very popular elder statesman of the game, and I have a feeling he may get in.
Jim, let's not go too far, elder statesman. he might be his own personal elder statesman and with J-Lo, but I suspect he's not much of an elder statesman for anybody else. I mean, he had the problem. He had the big problem. And, you know, I don't know if he ever did. At first, I think he denied it all. But, and see, that's the problem. These guys don't realize it's the cover-up that buries you. I mean, get it out there. Look at Pete. Pete took 15 or 16 years to tell everybody the truth. And now he makes, they say, almost $1 million a year writing on his autographs when he's doing autograph shows almost every day out in Vegas, which is fine, by the way. I think that's great. He goes to work 8 hours every day. And he writes on a ball or a picture or a bat, I bet on baseball. So, I mean, if you know Pete, that is not unusual for Pete to be so gregarious and out front and doing all the things that, and you know, people laugh about it. They have good humor with it. And I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just, if you're of that school that says, well, you can't even mention doing something wrong. Well, then you got a problem, but because we all make mistakes, we all can make some giant mistakes, but sooner or later, you know, everybody should get over it.
Well, it's been a tough off season. This Astros scandal cost free managers their jobs, and you know that sign stealing, when it's done effectively, can change the game. And apparently, sure, the Astros' success was based in some part to sign stealing. How much does that affect the game?
I'll tell you this. Let me talk about one guy first, Altuve. Altuve is, with all due respect, and I'm not calling him a liar, but I'm close, for him to suggest that he wasn't getting signs. And by the way, most good hitters do not want signs. They do not, because if you're given the bad sign, things like this, like Tony Coniglio, can happen to you. They say when Tony got hit in the head, in the face, that is, that he was told there was a curveball coming. They were using signs of some kind. And Tony was leaning over the plate, looking for a curveball away from the plate, and Jack Hamilton, who was the pitcher, threw him a fast, and Hamilton tells me this story. And Hamilton said he leaned over the plate. He said, I couldn't believe it. He never moved. And the ball hit him right square dab. I think it was under the left, or, well, it's under the right eye, I think. But, I mean, and you know, Tony was never the same, and of course he died a short time later. But that was a tragedy, and those are the problems with trying to get signs. Al Kaline, perhaps one of the greatest hitter in the history of the game as a rookie, he won the batting title. And Al, if you tried to give Al Kaline a sign, Al would look at you in your eyes and say, if you mention one word, curveball, slider, changeup to me, I will hit you with this K-55. That's a bat. So he didn't want to know. Cash didn't want to know. All the good hitters, freehand, they didn't want to know. They wanted to play the game. And it's not that they wouldn't, I think, cheat if they had to, if they wanted to. They just said guessing wrong can cause a serious problem, and Tony Coniglio being one of the more dramatic stories.
But if you know a fastball is coming, does it help?
Yes, but listen, let me say this to you. I used to tell, when I had big leads in the game, and I just was trying to get through the rest of the game, the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, Jimmy, I would tell people what was coming. And most of the time I'd yell, fastball, fastball, but I wouldn't tell him if it was going to be up and in or down and away. And God blessed me with real good control. So I had one element that a lot of guys don't have. And, you know, we could put the ball where we wanted to, I think, 90% of the time. But I would stand out there and just say, you know, my great story is with Joe Foy, who was with Kansas City at the time and Boston Red Sox. Joe was hitting about 200 the one year. And when I look at a guy hitting 200, hell, I want to keep him in the league because he comes up all the time with men on base, for God's sakes. So when he comes up the one time, I said, listen, by the way, I'm keeping you in the big leagues. He said, what do you mean? I said, if I don't have anybody on base, I'm going to tell you what's coming. Get a base hit so you move your average up so they don't send you to Topeka or Guam or someplace. I need to keep you in the league. And Joe said, you're out of your mind. I said, I am a little bit, but I said, I've got most of my sanity now. So he come up in that ball game that night, second or third time up, with nobody on, two outs, and I yelled out at him, Joe, fastball. And he looked at me, his eyes come flying out of his head. He says, you lying bastard. And that's exactly what he said. I threw him a fastball right down the middle of the plate. He took it. I said, you believe me now? He says, yeah, I believe you now. He took the next pitch, strike two. I said, Joe, what am I, not working with a Rhodes Scholar? What's the matter with you? And finally I said, I'm going to throw one more, Joe. In fact, I'll slow it down for you so you can see it. And I threw the next pitch. In fact, the ball was almost on an arc. He took it, Jimmy. Strike three. He never moved the bat off his shoulder. So those are the things. I used to do it with a lot of guys. Killebrew was another guy I did it with once in a while. And boy, after the ball game, or did you see him the next day? He said, you SOB. He says, why are you talking to us? He says, it's confusing everybody.
Well, Denny, we'll let you go. Always a pleasure. The great Denny McClain. We're back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. And you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And we always love catching up with Dennis Dale McClain. I think that he was 24 years old when he won the Cy Young Award. 31 wins, 6 losses. 41 starts, 30 complete games, 336 innings, and then 3 starts in the World Series. On top of that, the last on 2 days' rest as the Tigers beat the Cardinals in 7 games in 1968. And on that Detroit team, there is only one Hall of Famer in Al Kaline. And on the Cardinals, the team that Detroit beat, Cardinals were the defending champs, having defeated Boston in 1967 and also beat the Yankees in 64. Bob Gibson, Hall of Famer, and Lou Brock, Hall of Famer from Southern University. Lou Brock. And until Lee Smith from Northwestern State, the relief pitcher, got in the hall, Lou was the only Louisiana product who is in the Hall of Fame, Louisiana College product. And he was at one time the leading base stealer in Major League Baseball, and that was eclipsed by Ricky Henderson, both the season and career records. But Lou Brock was one of the great players of his generation. And it'll be interesting to see if Alex Bregman in any way is affected by this scandal that has been inflicted upon the Astros. They did it themselves with stealing signs, and the players have been given immunity, but Bregman, of course, has been a big star on that team. And all the players pretty much were aware, and many participated in the sign-stealing scandal. And polls show that most of the fans are in favor of the Astros players being punished. But there was immunity granted. We'll see if that holds. But even if immunity is granted, if someday Bregman 20, 25 years from now is up for the Hall of Fame, he could be denied admission the same way Barry Bonds is, the same way Roger Clemens and Mark McGwire are. And it will be fascinating to see if Alex Rodriguez gets in ahead of the others because he finished his career as a Yankee.